Good morning. It is Resurrection Sunday. Woo! All right. We are so excited. This is the pinnacle of Christian holidays, Christian holy days, Christian celebrations.
Yes.
This is what our faith hinges on, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the most, this is not an overstatement. This is the most pivotal moment in history. This is when life changed as we know it for all of eternity.
Amen.
Is when not only when Jesus died and paid for our sins, but the moment when Jesus came forth from the grave, when he was resurrected to life. If you're tuning into this, if you found this video by accident, if someone told you to watch this and you're just a little unclear on what's going on, we're talking about Easter. And you might be saying to yourself, yeah, I've heard of Easter. Of course, I live in America.
Yeah.
Easter, it's Easter, Easter, fill in the blank, Easter bunnies, Easter baskets, Easter dresses. Like we think of lots of things when it comes to Easter, but really what we're celebrating, what the church is celebrating when we're talking about Easter, was the life of a man that lived 2,000 years ago by the name of Jesus, and who was more than a man. He was fully God. He was fully man. God incarnate that came as in the flesh. That's what Christmas is all about, is Jesus being born as a baby. And Jesus lived a sinless life. And then he died on a cross in my place and in your place and in your place because of something we call sin, because we all have sin in our life. And Jesus came to pay for that because God is a holy God and cannot embrace us when sin is in our life. And so in order to pay the price that we couldn't pay, Jesus, we celebrated on Good Friday. We call it Good Friday because it's a good thing that Jesus paid a debt that we owed that we could not pay. And so now today we're celebrating that Jesus was in the ground for 3 days, and on the third day he rose. And actually, we're going to read a scripture about it just to give some context of what we're talking. If you go to the, if you don't have a Bible, you can call us at the church and we can get you one. Yep. Otherwise, YouVersion or BibleGateway.com online. There's great resources in 2020 as you're maybe holed up from quarantines or whatever. I dare you to crack open the Word of God. Start in the Gospel of John and just find the beauty in this story. We're so excited about Easter. We're so excited about reading this to you. So the Gospels talk about the story of Jesus. If you go towards the end of the Gospels, it will talk about kind of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, what we're talking about today. But we're going to actually read out of a book called 1 Corinthians. And it's one of the letters that a guy by the name of Paul wrote to the churches. And he was kind of just restating and solidifying this fact of what our faith is really about. And when we talk about our faith, it's our belief, our trust in the God of this story that we're talking about. And so in 1 Corinthians 15, starting the beginning of that chapter, it says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." Here we go. "That Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and then he appeared to Cephas," or Peter, "and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me as to one abnormally born." That's 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8. And that's the gospel story. It's the story of Jesus Christ. And so on this Sunday, the church celebrates that Jesus is no longer dead. Not only did he die for our sins, but he rose from the dead. And throughout history, many people have risen from the dead. We read in the gospel stories, a guy by the name of Lazarus, and also a couple of other different stories in the gospel stories. And then in the book of Acts, we see some of that. And so Jesus is not the only one to raise from the dead. So what makes this one special? Well, everyone else that rose from the dead had to die again. Jesus rose from the dead to stay eternally alive. So that's the difference. And he died, lived a sinless life, died a sinless death, taking our sin upon him for payment to a holy God, and then rose from the grave. And now the Bible talks about him being seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. And so that's what our faith hinges on. So we get excited about celebrating Easter. Maybe you guys have, here's a question for you. What's your favorite Easter tradition? What's your favorite Easter experience? As you're stuck in your house there together, maybe you just go around the room and ask that just as a starter question. We do that in youth group once in a while just to kind of get us asking different questions. So push pause, but don't forget to watch the rest of the video. Because we got some good stuff for you today. Very excited to bring this to you today. So one of our exciting things in the house is the Cadbury, the small little Cadbury eggs. We're eating those by the bushel full because I like those a lot. And so the diet came to a crashing halt with quarantine. So that's one question. I've got another question for you. Here's our starter question for the lesson today. As we celebrate Easter, as we celebrate the life of Jesus, my question for you today is this. Today, on Easter Sunday, are you celebrating the life of Jesus, or are you walking and living in and experiencing the life of Jesus? Are you celebrating the life of Jesus?
I like that question.
Or are you experiencing the life of Jesus? Because I would say that there is a drastic difference between those two things. Am I simply celebrating? So what I'm saying in essence is, are you, if we were actually having church, which we're not, you know, America shut down, but am I going to church today, whether it's in my living room or in a regular church? You know, pretend that we're not in quarantine today. If you were asking this question as we're walking out the house, am I going to church today celebrating the life of Jesus? Because that's why we go to church on Easter, right? Maybe maybe you only go to church on Christmas and Easter. Maybe maybe we're celebrating this holy day. But the rest of my life, if I had to be honest, I would have to say I'm not walking in the life of Jesus Christ. What does that mean, walking in the life of Jesus Christ? It means that Jesus paid for something, an experience that I can have, not a one-time experience, but an ongoing experience, sharing in the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. Oh, you mean just learning about him? Well, yeah, that's a small part about it, but an actual experiential immersion into the life of Jesus Christ. Now, that might just be a bizarre terminology for you, but we're going to make four different points today of what that really means. And I want to start by saying, because Jesus came from the grave, that's going to be our hinge statement, okay? Four things are going to come out of that. Because, and these are not the only four things. These are just, we may not even have time for the four. We're going to try our very best. But because Jesus came out of the grave, what does that mean for me? Well, obviously, on one hand, I could just celebrate that. I could just say, hey, let's go to church today and let's listen to a good message and let the pastor talk and let's sing our favorite hymns or favorite songs or however we are accustomed. Get a new Easter dress for the girls and
binge on candy,
absolutely. And we know that one of the best things about Easter Sunday is Easter Monday, when all the candy goes on sale. No, I'm kidding. I mean, that's true, but certainly in the life of a believer, that is not the best thing. It's the fact that Jesus came from the grave.
Yes.
So the statement.
Yes.
Here, let's get into it. Because Jesus came from the grave, because he rose from the dead and walked out of that tomb. Number one, because Jesus came from the grave, I have no fear of death.
Amen.
I will live eternally. In fact, we all will live eternally, but the destination where we're going to live is up in the air until we give our lives to Jesus Christ. Jesus said, all who will come to me, he will give eternal life to. And we're going to live in eternal death or eternal life, eternal separation from God or eternal union with God, eternal damnation, eternal suffering, or eternal bliss. And it all hinges on where my heart is at in believing and trusting in Jesus Christ for my life. So, because Jesus came from the grave, I have no fear of death. We're in a pandemic right now where we talked about this a couple weeks ago, where our mortality is being brought to the surface. We do so many things so many times to try to ignore the fact that one day I'm going to be worm food. Mm. I mean, just it's mm-hmm. as sure as, you know, the old cliche, death and taxes, you know, two sure mm. things in life. Mm-hmm. Yep. We are going to be no longer here on this earth. Nobody gets out of this alive. The mortality rate for humanity is 100%. It's a one-to-one death ratio. For mm-hmm. every life, there's mm-hmm. a death. And until Jesus comes back and we are taken into eternity, that is going to be the case. And so how do I deal with that? For a lot of us, we don't like to talk about that. Mm-hmm. It's fearful. And because Jesus came from the grave, he mm-hmm. now gives eternal life to all Amen. Who would believe mm-hmm. in him. And actually, we've talked about this a number of mm-hmm. times. In the first 300 years, there was two huge plagues that the first church really kind of walked through. And one of the things that differentiated them from especially some of the Roman religions was, because that was prevalent at the time, is that they had no fear of death. Mm-hmm. They had no fear of death. And so Jesus told them, we talked... when was it? All these videos are blending together. Oh, it was good. It was.
We talked sometime in one of our videos.
On our Monday, Thursday video.
Yes.
A new commandment
yes,
that
I give to you.
We're
yes.
to love sacrificially, yes. mm-hmm. not just with feelings, not just mm-hmm. with emotions, but mm-hmm. you. I think you brought up the great quote, it's more than a feeling.
It is more than,
more
a,
than
feeling.
A feeling.
Yes.
Yes, it's more than a feeling. It's sacrificial action. And mm-hmm. the first couple centuries of the church walking through these plagues, they had sacrificial action. When family members, when you got the plague, they would throw you out into the streets while mm. you were still alive mm-hmm. to die out in the street. Family, loved ones, because they were so afraid of death mm-hmm. and quarantining themselves. I mean, wow. Talk about a flashback, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. To present times. And so what differentiated the Christians, the believers in Christ, is that yeah, maybe they didn't want to die, but they had no fear of death. Mm-hmm. Because for the non-believer, this is the only life that you're ever going to know. Mm-hmm. And for the believer, the end of this life is the only death you're ever going to know. Because you are going to live
I like that.
Eternally.
Yes.
Death for the non-believer is the end of things. And it's really, for the non-believer, it's the beginning of separation from anything good that you've ever known. But for the believer, it's just a transition in from good things to best things. Mm-hmm. It's a transition mm-hmm. from mortality to immortality. It's a transition from seeing God through a veil to seeing God clearly. It's a transition mm-hmm. from intangible mm-hmm. acts of God to tangible, embraceable, fully realized. We see in mm-hmm. part now, mm-hmm. but we'll see in yes. full then.
Yep.
So for the believer, mm-hmm. death is merely a transition to mm-hmm. even better things.
Yep.
And it's not, this is one thing and eternal life is another thing. It's we get to start eternal life from the moment we walk in Christ. We get to mm-hmm. participate. We're going to talk about some of that. Mm-hmm. But what I'm really saying is that death as finality for us is, it's a non-issue.
Mm-hmm.
Death mm-hmm. is simply removing the veil of this flesh and humanity to embrace true life.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have no fear in death.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting
like that.
News.
It is very exciting news. Yeah, when you were talking about that, I was thinking right away, my mind jumped to Revelations verse 12, or chapter 12, and I'm reading in verses 10 through 11, but it talks about this idea that it's talking about believers in Christ, okay? And it says this, they did not love their lives so much as to shrink back from death or shrink back
so
in the
good.
Face of death. And that's the opportunity that we have. Like we don't have to fear the loss of this mm-hmm. life. And that's really what death is. It's the fear of loss of this life.
Right.
As believers in Christ, we get to welcome the new life, right?
Right. Because mm-hmm. we're partaking in eternal life as we're here today, as Pastor Stephen and I are followers and believers in Christ. Our spirits have been made alive. They've passed from death to life. So we are already experiencing eternal life. Death for us is just an entrance into a fuller expression of that.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
In fact, knowing this changes how you live. Knowing this changes how you love. Knowing this changes how you serve.
Yes.
That's knowing good. This changes the priorities in my life because up until that point, everything has to be to protect me from death. It has to be to preserve my life. Now, if I'm not fearful of death, I can live selflessly because death is merely just a doorway to something even better. In fact, Paul, who was wrote a bunch of the New Testament, the part of that was written after the life of Jesus Christ, Paul even said a crazy statement in Philippians 1:21. He said, "For to me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain." What? How can? What kind of mentality is that? That says, my life here, it's a blessed thing. Like, don't think for a second that we're dismissing this. We embrace this life on earth. We live to love and serve and give. This life is Christ. It's wrapped up. It's encased in Christ. And to die, even better.
Even better.
Even better.
Yes.
Good, better, and best. Like, it's a win-win for a believer in Christ. So today, if you are struggling with fear of death, I just want to challenge you. Put your hope and your life in Jesus Christ. And if you already are a believer, then just be assured that death is no thing. It's no, it will never have a hold on you. Your fleshly body will cease to exist, but your spirit will live in eternity with a brand new body that can experience things that we've only dreamt of. Yeah. Amen.
That's good news.
That's good news. That's good news. And I want to read one more verse or one more section of scripture. It's from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, we're going to start in verse 14. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith. More than that, we were found to be false witnesses about God, for we testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. So they were struggling with, people were saying, well, dead people can't be raised. Once you're dead, and that's just it. So that's what Paul is kind of dealing with. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. So what Paul is saying is, if our life is only this life, if our faith in Christ is only for this life, man, how sad for us. Let me read two more verses. But, look at somebody, say, but.
But.
Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. Look at this word, the first fruits. That means the starter seed, right? A friend of mine has just started, because you can't buy yeast in the store, one of my favorite breads is sourdough bread, and he started a sourdough culture, or a starter, started a starter. And so now from that starter, he can make loaf after loaf after loaf after loaf after loaf. And that's what this word is kind of talking about here. Jesus was the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Verse 21, for since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. And that man is Jesus Christ. So he's the first fruits, the initiation of that. And so that was finishing up a whole bunch of scripture. Sorry we read so much, but it just setting the stage that because Jesus died and then rose from the grave, we are too going to rise from the grave. We are not relegated to a life of death and decay. We are relegated to a life of life, eternal life.
That's good.
All right, let's move on. Verse, the second point
number
on
two.
That. Yeah, because Jesus came from the grave, number two, I have victory in life.
Amen.
I'm not a victim.
Yes.
Whoa, I like that.
Yes.
I live from a place of hope and power. Man, I love that so much. A lady by the name of Barbara Johnson, in her devotional, she wrote something, and just a powerful statement. We are Easter people living in a Good Friday world. Yeah, we are Easter people living in a Good Friday world. What does that mean? It means that all around us we see death and destruction, and on Good Friday we celebrate Jesus with his flesh being torn from his body and crown of thorns being placed in his skull, his hands, nails being driven through his wrists and his feet, and we celebrate that gruesome death. And honestly, if we want to talk about our experience of this life, so often death of loved ones and persecution and trials and troubles and tribulations. And I don't know if you've stepped outside your house lately, but It's a rough world out there. And in fact, some of you, after being locked in your house for too long, it's a rough world inside there, right? Our emotions get the best of us. Mm. The news sends fear in our life. It's just, this is a Good Friday world. Honestly, we experience famines and earthquakes and plagues and so much misery around us. And yet, we are Easter people. We are people of the resurrection. And what the fact of Jesus walking out of the grave gives us, it gives us hope for this life. A guy that I love to listen to by the name of Michael Ramsden says this: we have hope not because we are unaffected in this world. Rather, it's because we are affected by Christ and what he has done and what he has won for us on the cross. It's not because we don't have hope because we're immune from life's deficiencies and tribulations and trials and troubles and sadnesses. That's not why we have hope, because we're immune from that. It's because it's not that we're unaffected by that. We have hope because we are affected by the life of Jesus Christ. And so that gives us, it's the life of Christ gives us an invitation into a power source and into a hope that is beyond anything that this world has to offer. So we can live in this world, but not of this world. We can live in sadness and death and destruction, yet with a different hope, with a hope that is real and is not fantasy, with a life of Christ that is a first fruit. We know not only are we going to have eternal life in the future, we can have eternal life today.
Yeah, that makes my mind go back to something you said just in one of your Sunday morning videos. You were talking about how one of the definitions for peace is just the absence of something, right? Peace is defined as the absence of conflict, right? And that's really, that's a base definition of peace. Peace is in spite of conflict, right? It's it's hope. Yeah. It's not, hope isn't absent of fear, right? It's it's in spite of fear. It's actually taking place in the midst of fear. That's true peace happens in the midst of conflict. True hope happens in the midst of fear.
I would dare say you cannot have hope unless you have a hopeless situation.
Yes, definitely.
Because then you have a realized hope, which isn't hope, it's reality. So your reality has to be challenging you with facts that are different than what hope would tell you. Otherwise, it's not hope at all. Amen.
Amen.
Let's move on. The third thing, because Jesus walked out of that grave that day, number three, I can walk in fellowship with Jesus. I listen for his voice and I enjoy his friendship. The Bible says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus is the speaking voice. In fact, it says in the beginning, John would say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. And he's that rhema word that speaks in this moment, in my heart, that in my conscience, in my spirit, the Word of God speaking. And he's also the revealed Word of God, what we call the Bible. And he illuminates that to me. And that word just speaks to my heart, and it gives me hope, and it challenges me. It convicts me when my life is out of alignment with God's life, because then I'm experiencing death, even though it doesn't feel like it in the moment. I'm partaking of death, and we call that sin. Anything that's not in alignment with what God wants for my life, the Word of God steers me back, and it's a great it's the wind that drives my sails, and it's also the rudder that points me in the right direction.
Yes,
so
that's good.
I get to hear Jesus' voice. And in fact, in John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Stephen, how beautiful is it? We talk about this often, especially in a church like ours, you know, a charismatic church where we believe that the Holy Spirit still moves and operates in the different gifts and in the different expressions of God. That how beautiful is it that Jesus didn't just give us a 600-page rule book, right? How beautiful is it? And you've talked so often on this in our last few videos, so often how living by effort and striving leads to the cursed life. So by sheer willpower, I'm going to follow these rules of God because honestly, there's tons of rules in there, but mm-hmm. they're not just rules, they're gateways to life. Mm-hmm. And when we do it by our own striving and our own force, it mm-hmm. leads into a life yes. that is crippling. Mm-hmm. But when we say, Jesus, yes, I want to be a follower of you. Mm-hmm. And we let the grace of God empower us to do that. And when the conviction of God comes, when we read the word and God says, this is wrong, don't do it. And mm-hmm. that convicts our heart. And we say, I want to follow you, God. Mm-hmm. Empower me to do that. That's such a different expression and an yeah. experience. And what yeah. a beautiful thing that it's mm-hmm. not just a rule book. Mm-hmm. It's a relationship book. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this would have been really challenging. You know, think about the disciples in this moment. Like they were walking with Jesus mm-hmm. this whole time. And suddenly now he's been taken out of the equation. And mm-hmm. for them, that seemed like, how can we keep this yeah. going? How can we, yep. he told us we're going to do greater things than he's done. Yeah. How in the world? And the key word there, you said it's, I walk in fellowship with Jesus. Yeah. And so yes, the mandate or whatever is to be a follower of Jesus, mm-hmm. to follow yeah. in his footsteps.
Absolutely.
What's interesting is Jesus has walked this out, so we can follow in his footsteps, but here's what's cool is we have fellowship with him. So we're actually walking in his footsteps. We're following him, but we're doing it as he's in fellowship with right. us. And so Jesus has walked ahead of us, but he's also circled back to us
and
to walk
with
it with us.
Yeah.
And he walks it out, but then he circles back to us. He walks yeah. it out and then he circles yeah. back to us yep. to help us along in this journey. So we're not doing this path.
Isn't that bizarre?
Alone.
Yeah.
Alone.
He leads us mm-hmm. and walks with us. Wait
exactly,
a minute.
Exactly.
For us, we couldn't do that. I couldn't lead you and walk with you at the same time. And yet Jesus yeah. does that.
Yes.
So, which leads us to our fourth
yes.
point today.
Number
we
got
to finish up. Because Jesus came from the grave that day. Number mm-hmm. four, my everyday ordinary life is animated yep. and empowered by the power yes. of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And my ordinary life mm-hmm. becomes a life of worship to the mm-hmm. King of Kings for mm-hmm. kingdom things.
Yes, that's good.
Yeah. So my mundane life becomes an act of service and worship. My ordinary things become kingdom things. My identity becomes as a Christ follower, as a son, as you talked before about being beloved, you know, as beloved children.
Yes, yep.
And the life that I get to live on this earth isn't just is exactly what you just said. Jesus now does it with us. He empowers
yes.
us by
yes.
his Holy Spirit
yep.
to have a whole entire different power source.
Mm-hmm.
So we are animated. If you guys have ever drawn anything, it just lays on the page until an animator animates it, draws it out, and then flips through it. And that's what God does. Mm-hmm. He orders our steps day by day and then mm-hmm. flips the pages and lets us mm-hmm. be a part, lets us be the willing pawn in that, if you
yes.
would. Yeah.
Yep.
The by choice, submitting to the will of God, and then he animates our life for his purposes, for kingdom purposes. Mm-hmm. Guys, we're out of time today. That went really fast.
Yep, it
wow.
<did. laughs>
There's a lot more we would love to talk about, but we have a limited time. And I just want to let you know, if this challenged your heart and you just don't know, maybe none of that, it resonates with you, but you're not in that place. Maybe you just are a churchgoer. Maybe you're celebrating the life of Jesus, but you've never participated in the life of Jesus. And I would just ask today, if the Holy Spirit is just, if you're feeling that nudge in your heart mm-hmm. to just pray this prayer, just pray a prayer like, Jesus, mm-hmm. I believe that you were the Son of God, that you came to earth, that you died on the cross for my sins, and that you rose from the grave on that Easter Sunday, that resurrection Sunday, 2,000 years ago. Come into my life, be my Lord, forgive my sins, animate my life. Let me know the hope and the peace that is in Jesus Christ. And if you did that, if you prayed that prayer, there's a lot more steps that will lead to a greater expression of that. Give us a call, 605-698-3494. Let us know about that step that you took and let us help walk through that with you.
Indeed.
We love you
yes.
guys.
Yep.
And we just ask for you to have a blessed Easter Sunday today. God bless.